Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thanks for being wherever we need you to be. In Jesus' name, amen. The Bible says the disciples all gathered on a hilltop 40 days after Easter to say aloha ahui ho to Jesus as he headed back to heaven, where he was seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, from whence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. Back then as today, many of us look at this broken world that we're living in, and we speak those words we normally say at Advent. E'en so, Lord Jesus, quickly come. But as soon as I pray that with my whole heart, e'en so, Lord Jesus, quickly come, I always say, hey Jesus, would you mind waiting till Tuesday? Because I got some plans on Monday. And then after I get over myself, I ask if he could wait even longer. Not because Nancy and I have another grandchild coming on August 1st, but because there are some very special people in my life who still don't know Jesus. They know Jesus' name. They know a little about him, but in spite of knowing about him, they don't know him. And that's the best reason I can think of for Jesus to wait a little longer. Another day, another week, another month for them to get to know Jesus. Do you have anybody in your life that doesn't know Jesus? If you do, I guess it's not because of a lack of trying. It's because they just don't get it, at least not yet. They know you're concerned, and they might even have heard the whole John 14:6 thing. But there is something keeping them from Jesus. And by the way, it's usually a church or a pastor or someone who carries around a 50-pound King James Bible and a giant cross that they've been known to hit people over the head with. Most of the people I know who aren't believers because somewhere in their past, something happened that hurt so much, they just walked away and they haven't been able to make it back. John 14:6 is a tough passage. Jesus is about to die. He tells his disciples, do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me so that you can be where I am. See, Jesus wants us to know his crucifixion and death are not an accident. God the Father actually thought it up even before the foundations of the earth were laid. It's always been God's plan, as terrible and as unfair as it might seem. But that's how much God loves us. He gave his own son, allowing him to be sacrificed on the cross so our sins would be forgiven and we could become children of God. Now, before you get hung up on figuring out if Jesus actually had to die or if it would have been enough for him to have just gotten a paper cut, or if Jesus is trying to protect us from this mean and nasty evil father who's just full of vengeance and lightning bolts, I want you to hear the next words that Jesus says. You know the way to the place where I am going. Jesus presumes the disciples want to go to heaven. Now, they wouldn't want to go to heaven if God the Father was always angry. See, they want to be with God in eternity. And I suppose there was a time and a place where that could be said about most people, but not anymore. There are a lot of people who, along with Thomas, say, Lord, we don't know where you're going. So how can we know the way? See, it's one thing for doubting Thomas to be daydreaming and miss out on the whole conversation about how Jesus' impending death and resurrection and it's God's plan all along. It's quite another for people to say, you know what? I don't really care who you are. I don't really care where you're going. You don't need to make any reservations for me because I make my own reservations. I'm not sure exactly when it happened, but there came a time in my life when I had to settle the question, who's God? Now forget denominations, different religions, and the whole being spiritual thing. I needed to know why I was going to church, praying, listening to some guy talk for 30 or 40 minutes on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday, because Baptists can never get enough of sitting in the pew. This is one of the reasons people don't want anything to do with God. There are so many different ideas of who and what God is and what you have to do to make him happy. They don't have time to figure it all out. Too many voices, too many different ideas, and it gets overwhelming. I had a long layover at SFO. I was sitting at gate F-22, that's the one at the very end of the concourse. I had my headphones on, was reading a great book, I was in the zone, and when I finished the book and took off my headphones, I realized I was surrounded by a large crowd and none of them were speaking English. They were all chattering away in their own language, just having a ball. Now, for all I knew, they were offering $1 million to anyone and all you had to do was go up and ask. But because I didn't understand their language, I had no idea, so I just put my headphones back on and went back to reading a new book. There are people who feel that way about the church. as though it's speaking a different language that they don't understand. So they just put their headphones and they just go back to life, and heaven slips away. As much grief as we give Thomas for doubting, he redeems himself by following up his statement with, "How can we know the way?" Good question. And Jesus responds, "I am the way and the truth and the life. It's through me you get to the Father. It's through me that you get to heaven." I know this verse is a very hot topic in today's world. People get mad at Jesus for thinking he's so important and that he's the only way to get to heaven. But they should probably stop to realize that sometimes there really is only one way to get someplace. This gets back to me figuring out who God was all those years ago. See, if I believed in the God of the Bible, who is the God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God who parted the Red Sea, shuts the mouths of lions, turns the AC on in the fiery furnace, tears down the walls of Jericho by turning his boombox up to 11, and sends his own son to save me because I couldn't save myself. Who am I to argue with him about how I get from where I'm at to where I need to be, which is with him? And if the Bible that has been around in written form for 3,500 years and a lot longer before that, and it says that it's the inspired, inerrant word of God, maybe I need to read it. This is how St. Peter put it. "And we have the word of the prophets made more certain, and you will do well to pay attention to it, as to a light shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation, for prophecy never had its origin in the will of man, but men spoke from God and they were carried along by the Holy Spirit." Now Peter, along with St. Paul, Isaiah, Moses, and even Jesus, back him up. They say God wrote these things down so that we could know everything that we needed to know about heaven and about our relationship with God. He even tells us, by the way, how to deal with mold in your house before Clorox was invented and what to do if you accidentally or on purposely kill your neighbor's cow. Peter says you'll do well to pay attention to it, like a light shining in a very dark place. See, when I read the Bible, I don't see God as a mean and nasty deity who can't wait to smite all of us by pushing that red button when we do something wrong. I do see him as the one who defines what is right and what is wrong. And by the way, since he created everything, I think it's his right to determine what's right and what's wrong. I'll be honest, I disagree with some things, but that's a me problem, not a him problem. And that's the whole point. I brought the darkness on myself. God didn't cast me into it. And my whole prayer is, God, enlighten me. Show me. See, the book of Revelation says, "I didn't see a church in the city," we're talking about heaven, "because the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. And the city doesn't need the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and the Lamb is its lamp." Now, in one of his letters, St. John adds, "God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all." If you dig deeper into the Greek, John isn't just saying God is a source of light. God is the light. He's the source of light, all light. And outside of God, there is no light. When I was born, I was separated from God. For as King David said in Psalm 51, "I was sinful from my birth." Now, you need to understand, this doesn't mean as a baby I was running around violating all of the commandments. Now, this kind of original sin is me being separated from God by my very nature. He's there, I'm here. There's a chasm between us. And I'm the one who put myself on this side of the chasm with him on the other side. See, given the choice, I will always choose me. It's the way that it is. When God sent his son into the world, Jesus became our light. Jesus not only came to bring us light, he is the light. And because of Jesus, we can see through the darkness. See, there is no darkness that Jesus can't blast through. Before he went back to heaven, Jesus told his disciples, "Now you are the light of the world. Let your light so shine that everyone can see the way you live, the things you believe, and give glory to your Father in heaven." Those words get spoken at our baptism. We aren't the light. We reflect Jesus. Jesus is the sun. We're the moon. And you know how bright the moon can be. Jesus illuminated the path home to heaven. That's what this life is all about. We're here to get ready for heaven. And every single day of our life is a witness to the glory and the power of God. And if we start following in Jesus' footsteps, if we start walking home following him and reflect God's glory with every step we take, we start to light up the path. And what do you think that'll do for those who, like Doubting Thomas, are asking, "We don't know the way, so how are we supposed to know how to get there?" whereas the church can be, well, pretty confusing with all its rules and regulations. Some of the not churched folks might be willing to start walking alongside of you. Then, long before they figure out what church is all about, they get into a relationship not only with you, but some of your friends who are also believers. And then they make their way into the church. You see, you are always the first step. When Jesus was talking to the disciples, he said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare that place, I will come back and take you to be with me so that you can be where I always am. For me, the simplest and best definition of heaven is being with Jesus. Now, all the other stuff in the Bible, all the metaphors and descriptions and dreams are great. But it's enough for me to know that I get to be with God in heaven. I'm going to be with him. Everything else is a bonus. Now, Jesus told his disciples to wait for the Holy Spirit before they went out to change the world, because there is nothing worse than a bunch of people without candles or flashlights running around in the dark, bumping into things, bumping into each other, not getting anywhere, but telling everyone to follow them. But there is nothing better than a bunch of people with candles or flashlights helping people find their way out of the dark. Once the disciples had the Spirit, they could begin to push back the darkness. Back in the old days, and this was in the early 90s, when you hike Diamond Head, you come to this cave, and inside the cave is this spiral staircase that goes up. And there were no lights in the tunnel back then. They've been installed since then. So there was a time when I forgot my flashlight. I got to it, and I mean, it's pitch black. And I had to wait for somebody to come along with a flashlight so that I could follow them. Next time, I didn't forget my flashlight. It was my turn to lead through the darkness. Every time Ascension Day rolls around, I hear Jesus say, you know the place to where I'm going. And I do. I know who Jesus is. I can't fully comprehend always what that means, but I know enough that if I want to spend eternity with Jesus, the only way that's going to happen is if I follow him home. Jesus promised you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and then you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the very ends of the earth. With the Holy Spirit, we are Jesus' witnesses to the end of the earth, reflecting his glory, pushing back the darkness. Without the Holy Spirit, we're just sitting in the darkness, listening to our own voices, bumping into everything. And so, Lord Jesus, quickly come. Rescue us from ourselves, but not until everyone has had a chance to get to know you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.